The Lifeboat Hour with Michael Rupert, Sundays at 9 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Nightclub at the end of the world. This is you know who, Michael Rupert. Today is June 19th, 2011, and what a crazy ass week it's been. First of all, I want to tell you guys how much I love you. I opened up the emails to Lifeboat Hour right before we went on the air, and there were already eight questions lined up for me here. Thank you guys. I really enjoy this time I spend with you every week. But I'm not going to be taking any calls probably until the bottom of the hour. I just want to let you know up front. I also want to let everybody know, next week you're going to have like this amazing treat. And if it's half as good as I think it's going to be, it's going to be a show to remember. My guest next week will be Max Kaiser from the Kaiser Report at RTTV. You all know him as this super eloquent, this witty, angry, pissed off, really smart dude, and we're going to pre-record with him tomorrow, so there will be no call-ins next week. I'm just warning you of that in advance, but Max and I are going to have the whole hour together, and I'm really looking forward to that. Okay, let's get on to a lot of stuff that's going on. Look, this was an overwhelming week of bad news, and for the first time in the 30-plus years that I've been doing what I do since I started trying to take on CIA dealing drugs back in the late 70s, and through everything that I've been through since, through the writing of Crossing the Rubicon from the Wilderness, everything that's been taking place with Collapse, I had never reached a point where I could not absorb any bad news, any more bad news, until this week. When that happens, you just reach a shutoff point where you just shut down. Now, I'm aware of that, and I understand that, and I hold that space for others around because I don't expect anybody in the world to do what I do. I don't think anybody else has had the training, preparation for it. But it was good for me to get to that place because, first of all, I got enough experience under my belt to acknowledge it when I'm there. Twice this week, with news stories, I found myself late at night just crying my eyes out in the bedroom. That's happening to everybody. And my experience is that unless we learn how to do things like that now, as things are just beginning, we're not going to last too long. And within CollapseNet too, I'm watching this incredible team that we have, this incredible family, react in different ways to the stress. Some of it's enacting out, some of it's not productive, some of it's boat rocking, some of it's frustrated attacks on other members of the lifeboat crew. And we can't do that. But what has become very clear to me is that unless and until we take the time to really go inside, and if it's necessary, throw a tantrum, if it's necessary, cry, if it's necessary, go out and vent some of your anger by chopping some wood. I just weed whacked 2 acres yesterday. That was productive. We have to take the time to do that, or else everything else may fall down. And it has become so clear to me that there is nothing more important in my lifeboat than the people who are in it with me. I can do without anything, but I cannot do without my friends, and I cannot do without myself. So there's a lot to be learned now. There were two stories this week that absolutely pushed me into overload, where I realized that, I just couldn't even open the email. My circuit breaker flipped. And one of those was a story from Counterpunch. I've had my ups and downs with Counterpunch over the years with Alex Coburn. But this was just a brilliant, brilliant story that for me, crystallized all of the insanity that is taking place right now in the world around us. Counterpunch story, this came from the weekend edition from June 10 through 12, 2011. A 35% spike in infant mortality in Northwest cities since meltdown. Is the dramatic increase in baby deaths in the U.S. a result of Fukushima fallout? Question mark by Jeanette Sherman, M.D., and Joseph Mangano. I'm going to read some of this to you. U.S. babies are dying at an increased rate. While the United States spends billions on medical care as of 2006, the U.S. ranked 28th in the world in infant mortality, more than twice that of the lowest-ranked countries. Sources are listed there. The recent CDC Morbidity and Mortality Weekly report indicates that eight cities in the northwest U.S., Boise, Idaho, Seattle, Washington, Portland, Oregon, plus the Northern California cities of Santa Cruz, Sacramento, San Francisco, San Jose, and Berkeley, which is where I'm, that's the area where I live, reported the following data on deaths among those younger than 1 year of age. For the 4 weeks ending March 19th, 2011, 37 deaths averaged 9.25 per week. That was like immediately after Fukushima, before any fallout got here. For the 10 weeks ending May 28th, 2011, that's like 3 weeks after Fukushima, there were 125 deaths, an average of 12.5 per week. Scientifically, this is the quote, this amounts to an increase in of 35%. The total for the entire U.S. rose about 2.3% only in that period. So this is clearly isolated to the Pacific Northwest and is statistically significant. Of further significance is that those dates include the 4 weeks before and the 10 weeks after the Fukushima nuclear plant disaster. In 2011, the infant mortality was about 6.834 per 1,000 live births, increasing to 6.845 in 2007. All years from 2002 to 2007 were higher than the 2001 rate. Data from Chernobyl, this is the last paragraph I'm going to read from this story. Data from Chernobyl, which exploded 25 years ago, clearly shows increased numbers of sick and weak newborns and increased numbers of deaths in the unborn and newborns, especially soon after the meltdown. These occurred in Europe as well as the former Soviet Union. Similar findings are also seen in wildlife living in areas with increased radioactive fallout levels. I read this story, and I just kind of was like all the air had disappeared out of my tire, out of me. I just kind of threw my hands up at the stupidity of the species. We are now having, and this is the other story that I couldn't bring myself to get my arms around this week, because I'm, you know, working too many hours now. At CollapseNet, we're working on expanding our ability to get more reportage through a good editorial committee. I'll come to that in a second. The second story, of course, is Fort Calhoun. We're posting some must-see videos on the CollapseNet homepage. They should be up now, or if not, will be up soon. One is an incredible eyewitness report who actually got up to the nuclear plant, made some amazing video showing that the whole plant is flooded. And the first floor of the reactor building appears to be flooded. So we are facing potentially, there's another video going up with a flyover, even though flyovers have been banned. And people at a local, government employees at a local water station have been forbidden from testing the water for radiation. There's like 450 nuclear reactors in the world, and every one of those needs to be shut down right now, or they are going to kill us. We're trying to stay on top of Fort Calhoun as much as possible, but, you know, I reached the decision this week that it may not be possible for CollapseNet to cover all the emergencies all the time. We're not CNN. And I really see and appreciate the load that everyone at CollapseNet is carrying right now, and how all of us step up to hold or contain this really tough news. As we bring it to you, we try to create the safe space where we can transform that into something useful. So I have made a decision about something I'm going to do for myself. Next Tuesday, I am turning off my computer. I am going on a spiritual retreat starting Thursday, to do some very important spiritual work for me, and there is quote-unquote fasting involved. And in that fasting period, I will be fasting from any intake of news from the outside world so that spiritually I can have my consciousness in the right place to undertake this guided retreat. And during that time, the incredible CollapseNet staff has a basic idea of how they should handle things, but we're going to see how these amazing people decide to bring news and present it to you when I'm not going to be there. I'll be back, you know, but I have to walk like I talk because I carry a pretty big load, too. So I got to take care of myself, and I encourage all of you to think about that. I really, really do, and to engage in whatever self-care and tribal care, whatever bonding that you can right now with people around, so that you can vent, release some of this emotion. Tears are good. Puking is even good if you're getting stuff out. It's the holding all this stuff in that's going to cause a lot of problems, and then possibly lead to acting out in ways that aren't productive. So that's our lesson from the front lines of collapse that I'm sharing with you tonight, and I'm just really glad to feel all you guys out there. There's a bunch of stories that I had, and I'm going to start talking about those now, because it kind of gives us a clue about where we are. China, which I think on the last show I was saying was having biblical droughts, is now having biblical floods. And their crops are being destroyed, obviously, but more than 500,000 people have been evacuated from the flooding region. 500,000. More than 100 known to have died. But in addition to the flooding in China, we have been putting up videos all week of massive civil unrest throughout the country. Some very moving and gut-wrenching videos of very violent confrontations in China with fires and bombs and grenades and all that stuff. And it is going around the world. I just got sent a link from one of our listeners to a video of unrest in, I think it was Chile. And I'm going to look at that right after the show is done. We'll get it up on CollapseNet. British Petroleum, you're going to love this, has released its statistical yearbook every 60 years. It began in 1951, in which two BP employees gathered some stats and deployed it internally in 8 copies. And so this got, you know, evolved, but the report shows that Norwegian oil production, one of the major oil producers in the world, fell by 9.4% last year. It was the 9th consecutive year of powerful, they capitalized this, fall in oil productions. When I went to my last ASPO USA conference in Sacramento in 2008, last time I saw Matt Simmons alive, I was talking to Jim Baldoff, who was the head of ASPO USA, and Jim's an old oil man, and at the time he told me that the actual global decline rate was about 9%. And we're not offsetting much of anything now because new fields are not being developed because infrastructure is failing, and so these declines are really, really dramatic. Now, here's one that I laugh at. U.S. pullout exposes Iraq's oil industry. I love this. Baghdad, June 17, UPI. U.S. helicopter gunships fired at raiders near Basra, Iraq's second city and strategic oil center in the south, underlining fears that the vital Iraqi oil industry will become a target again as U.S. forces withdraw. The attackers fired 7 rockets at Basra's airport, but the wider threat has taken on greater significance as the Baghdad government and Washington debate the political risks of keeping on as many as 20,000 U.S. troops past the December 31st deadline for completing the withdrawal. All right, now, let me just get to the bottom line here. Look, we invaded Iraq after 9/11 for oil. Duh. Because Dick Cheney knew about peak oil. Duh. Proved that. So we went to all this carnage, all this bloodshed, all these deformed babies from depleted uranium, all the wreckage there was to control Iraqi oil, and now the U.S., the empire, is way past the edge of a cliff. The ultimata have been clear, delivered from the Iranian the Iraqi prime minister, delivered by everybody in the country, but especially by a guy named Muqtada al-Sadr, who is a Shiite cleric in the southeast. He's in Basra, and he runs the Mehdi army, about 2 million men, and they fought the U.S. to a standstill in Fallujah and elsewhere from about 2003 through 2005. And these guys, the Mehdi army, is disciplined, and they are they're ramping up activities. There are probing little strikes being taken out, and the U.S. is going to have to leave Iraq by December 31st. And as I have said to everybody on the World News Desk and at Collapse Net for our members, the so-called killing of Osama bin Laden sounded to me like maybe it was a pretext because Uncle Sam had decided that, oh my God, everything's going up in Iraq again and Saudi Arabia's about to fall and we got all our troops in the wrong country. That seems to be the way it's playing out. The U.S. is now officially in talks, brotherly talks, one report said, I love that, with the Taliban. And looks like there's a 94,000-95,000 man drawdown there, but you can bet, and we've already seen stories on that this week, that those 94,000 ain't coming home. They're going to Iraq or somewhere around Saudi Arabia. So we're going to get our butts kicked out of Iraq, I'm sure of that. And when that happens, we may well lose all the Iraqi oil. There's a big, you know, it's just all shaken out. Okay, it's about 20 minutes after the hour. And then we're going to come back and finish up with a few more stories. Then we'll go to your questions and calls. We've got a couple more come in. Thank you, everybody. I love you back. But the song for tonight is a new White Trash song that that I didn't write or perform on. I certainly influenced because I was hanging around these guys, you know, talking all the talk at Collapse and all that and as the song was being recorded. But this is a song featuring Doug Lewis, who founded the band, and Kristen Weygaard, an amazing, amazing singer. And what else would we play tonight but Meltdown?
I'm on my meltdown. I'm on my meltdown. I'm on my meltdown.
I'm on my meltdown. I'm on my meltdown. I'm on my meltdown.
I'm on my meltdown.
I'm on my meltdown. I'm on my meltdown.
Yeah, honey, wish you could take the money and run. Cash it all in for some fun in the sun. But the bailout came and left you blind. Now the tax man is coming for your behind.
I'm on my meltdown.
Trash is your new face. Falling from the middle and you're facing a hard race. Sock it to me, baby, and you can't win. Got more going out than you got coming in. Everything you know is looking like a lie. You only want to work, but not one bite. And now you're selling something for cash on the side. You're the new white trash, and you can't hide. Your new nine. Ain't no doubt about it, you're losing big time. When everything was good, it all turned bad. You're the new white trash, and you've been had. You're the new white trash. You're the new white trash, and you've been had. Fresh from the TV set, rubbing through my trash. That's what you get. Feeling pain like a fish, made for jump. Rubbing through my trash.
sometimes you just got to have a meltdown. You know what I mean? You just got to have one to shake everything out. That was Meltdown by New White Trash. You can find the song on the band's website at www.newwhitetrash.com. It's one of 37 originals in our double CD double wide that's been out, I guess, about 6, 7, 8 months now. We want to thank you for your support for that. You can listen for free. You can download, I think, for $11.11. You can buy a CD, a double CD. That's nice, nice packaging. You can do all of that there. But that's one of the things we do here to relieve the stress. You got to make a joke out of stuff. I want to take a couple more stories here that I want to kind of get into the mix tonight. Then we're going to go to questions. Copper thefts. We've rearranged the World News Desk at Collapsnet, and thank you all for your support. We're rocketing toward 5,000 members now in 63 countries. We appreciate that. We've been busting our you know what's for you guys, and everybody at Collapsnet thanks you for all the great messages we're getting. We got a new section now on the World News Desk trying to address infrastructure scavenging, and I'm using copper theft as a barometer because copper seems to be the metal of choice at the moment. And what we have found is that there are so many every day, it's not possible for us, so many that are reported that we find, it's not possible for us to bring them all to you. So we put them up there, but we're seeing a lot of interesting side effects of this. And here's one from copper theft results in blackout. This is in Texas, this is in Denton County, Texas. Someone caused a blackout at the entrance of the town of Lakewood Village, according to a Denton County Sheriff's report. Deputies responded to the 100 block of Hardridge Drive in unincorporated southeast Denton County on Tuesday when an employee reported that the copper wire that services the entrance landscaping for the area had been cut and stolen. The employee estimated that it would cost about $700 to replace, according to the report. Well, we're seeing thefts. I did an add-up one day, and I counted $9 million in thefts. This is a total rampaging epidemic, and it is global now. I just saw something that in Ireland they're thinking about going out and ripping up old transatlantic telephone cables to get the copper to sell as scrap metal to help pay off their debt. Oh my God! To the IMF and the EU. I hope the Irish just stand up and just say no more. I hope they do it in Greece. Max Kaiser's been in Greece, and he's been delivering some real fiery speeches there, and I agree with him completely. It's time to just say no. From Zero Hedge, on June the 18th, a New Hampshire man burns self at courthouse in protest. This wasn't over economic stuff. It was about the loss of custody of his children and being sentenced to jail for not paying child support when he hasn't had a job in 2 years. He burned himself to death. But he wrote a very strong letter, which I took the time to read, and you know what? I think I understand how he felt. It's 15 pages. It's longer than some that have been written out there. But if you want to get into this, you can feel for the guy. So if you're feeling overwhelmed and overloaded and all that, you're not alone. Know that, and know that if you want to break down and cry, at least around here, on the Lifeboat Hour or at CollapseNet, there's going to be a bunch of people there just waiting to hold you and put you on their shoulder and let you cry it out, because sometimes that's what you got to do. All right, we have an email from Hubert Cross, who writes, Mike, a word about scavenging. It's not uncommon in Latin America to see manhole covers and stop signs missing. People in poorer countries have been doing this for many years, melting down the metals or selling them to scrap centers. Living in Nicaragua gave me some insight into how collapse will play out in the U.S. The story about the section of railroad track being stolen not long ago and other things don't seem to me now just eerily familiar. They seem to me now too eerily familiar. Expect people to puncture gas tanks to steal gasoline, way more home invasions as people become desperate to feed their families, and power water outages become a fact of life well before they go altogether. A listener recently asked about dogs and their fate. Stray dogs in poor countries roam the streets because there's nobody to catch them, fix them, or put them to sleep like in the U.S. They're generally not threatening. They don't hang out in packs. They just roam like canine versions of homeless people. Anyway, thank you, Hubert, for that. I would kind of disagree because I remember being a cop in South Central Los Angeles in the 70s, and there were some really depressed areas where there were dog packs who had attacked people. They were just hungry, and that's what... animals will do when they get hungry. One more before we go to break at the bottom of the hour. We're going to go to France. France Sugarman. Oh, this is a long one. Okay, I'm going to read this and I'll answer it and I'll address it when I come back after the break. France Sugarman. Understood, and I appreciate the time you took to reply. Well, long replies. Trust is irrelevant. Well, this might be a okay. This is a long. I'm going to pass that one because that's not really good for on the air. It's just way too long. Question for the next show. Please look into a better headset, the best possible. Oh, that's yes. Thank you. Kevin Roberts wrote in. Let me explain the situation with the sound of my voice on this show. When I was in L.A. when we launched the show, I had what's called an ISDN line. It's a studio quality, digital quality sound. And up here, I'm kind of in the country, and I'm having to do this show over a telephone line with a headset. So the sound quality can't possibly be as good, but that's because I'm way out in the boonies. Now, we've been waiting for 7 weeks to get a T1 line installed so we could do some more things to improve things. But believe me, I'm feeling totally like I'm living in a third world country. That being said, guys, we're going to go for a station break now. If you want to call in and ask a question tonight, the number is 1-888-874-4888, 1-888-874-4888. Or ask a question or make a comment. And if you want to email me direct, I've still got 4 or 5 to go, but we'll have time to get to you. You can email me directly at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. We'll be right back with you after this.
To the Progressive Radio Network, your number one source for progressive commentary.
Every Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, join the founders of the Godspeed Institute for Spiritual Learning, Carol and Michael Hallenbeck, for Godspeed, an enlightening and informative journey into the world's religions and spiritual belief systems. Through conversations with experts worldwide, this weekly live call-in program is an on-air classroom aimed at helping listeners gain exposure to and insight into religious and spiritual practices around the world. Every Sunday, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, Mondays, 1 to 2 p.m., hosted by medical school professors and best-selling authors. Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, and Dr. Eugene Zamfiro empowers you with knowledge you can use about herbs, homeopathics, and natural therapies for you and your family. Tune in Mondays, 1 to 2 p.m. Visit the archives anytime. ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com, The Natural Nurse, and Dr.
The most news anywhere on the internet. Go to ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com, your number one source for everything progressive.
From
wrong, but we can transform. Welcome back to the Lifeboat Hour. That was We Can't Escape From. That was the first song that I co-wrote with the band, and that was me singing the chorus there. We cannot escape from these events, but we can change in response to them from the inside out. That's always the best way. Excuse me. Dave Crossland, who was a Lifeboat member and a friend, writes in a message. He's down there somewhere in Latin America, South America, I believe. Hi, Dave. Hi, Christine, if you're there. If you had no property or family and could move anywhere in the world, where would you move to? Well, Dave, you already know the answer to this. You've had dinner with me here. I've moved there. I'm living there now. And that's here in Sebastopol, California. This is the right place for me. It may not be the right place for everybody. It may not be, but it has the right mix for me, especially the right mix of people and friends here, people who I really care about. And as I said before, man, that's what really, really counts. Where are the people you really want to be locked, trapped in a lifeboat with? You know, I hope everybody has some. We have an email about Greece collapse. Bill Turecki, explain please three possible Greek scenarios: Greece defaults, Greece gets another bailout, and Papandreou president abdicates. Well, there is no other scenario now. Greece defaults. That's it, man. The stop right there. That's all that's on the table right now. That's going to happen. And that will be the monstrous Lehman Brothers, because what you see with Greece is the same thing you saw with Lehman Brothers, is that Irish banks, German banks, Swiss banks, French banks, American banks have all bought Greek bonds. And if Greece defaults, it's kind of like those little components that come out of Japan that nobody can get, that's shutting down industries all over the world. This is the Lehman Brothers house of cards. Whether Papandreou will... I think he's trying to not go down in the history as the man who crashed the world economy, and that's probably what Greece is going to do. It'll be the trigger. Of course, there are 100 triggers out there, but that'll be the one, maybe the one first, or the quarterly earnings reports that come start coming in July. But Papandreou is irrelevant. Greece is going to default. That's the only way to look at it. That's the only way to perceive it, because that's the only thing that's going to happen. Kaylin McIntyre. What a great name, Kaylin McIntyre. Here from Ottawa, Canada, although I feel more a human of Earth. I like that. First time emailing you and listening to your show live, although I've listened to many pre-recorded. Great work, including your song from last week, Is That Really Me? Yes, that was Venice Boardwalk Blues. I wrote the lyrics, and that was me singing it, and we're going to play it next week with Max Kaiser, and I want to thank all of you who like sent me all these amazing emails about how much you like the song. I'm real happy with it, too, and I was blessed to work with some great people on that. Karma Auger produced it and arranged all the musicians, but his dad, Brian Auger, who is a legendary keyboard player who's played with Eric, for a long time with Eric Burden of the Animals, played keyboards, that beautiful Hammond B3 sound that I love. Yeah, it was. So thanks for that. My comment for this evening is simply, Kaylin writes, that I think people should think about their use of we when referring to questionable activities of corporations and governments that have little to do with us. In other words, we are generally not in control, it seems. What do you think? How about it? Them instead of we. I wish you well for your retreat, fasting, meditation, whatever else you can exorcise. I think it's a great idea, and I'm behind you and all the good folks at CollapseNet, and I know that they all appreciate this. We all at CollapseNet feel how much you appreciate what we're doing. We'll need it. All the best. Okay, you know, I'm Gary Null and I have walked similar paths, banging our heads against the absolutely, totally frustrating, mind-bending stupidity of political correctness, especially within the so-called progressive community. It is an important semantic difference, I think, maybe, to not say we, but by the same token, I have to include myself as we, because I'm a white man from a generation that really screwed the planet up. I do not ascribe to or endorse the actions of my government or the corrupt economic paradigm. So maybe you know what? It ain't that big a deal, because everybody knows where my heart is, and everybody knows where everybody else's heart is. And if we start quabbling over words, we're going to have a real tough time. A question from Christopher Dalton. Hi, Chris. I have to look and see if anybody's on the phone line. Hold on, I got to shrink this window. Okay, I'm back up. There's nobody on hold. Okay. He writes, if a fast collapse takes 2 years, why must we be prepared like it will happen within hours with food storage bullets? Well, dude, you just don't get what's going on here. You keep, and this is a fault that this is a trap that many people have out there. They think, and I address this in the movie Collapse, they think that everything's going to be fine on Tuesday and it's going to be shit on Wednesday. And I've been saying for years that there will be progressive stages down along the way. A fast 2 years to end a fast crash, which is unbelievably fast, I don't think that'll happen, is when everything is at a state of rubble, when there's nothing else left to collapse. So, Christopher, if you wait until then to start to get ready, you're going to be having a real hard time because you won't have any food, you won't have any water, you won't have any preparation, you won't have any first aid training or anything else. This stuff is happening right now, but you cannot treat this intellectually as an event like a light switch. It doesn't happen that way. We are in collapse now, and you know, I have no sympathy anymore for people who can't see it. If you can look around the world, look around at the world around you right now, Chris, and not feel like you have a need to get ready for something, I feel pretty sorry for you. We do this in stages. I mean, we're checking off items on a list as quickly as we possibly can, and you need to be doing that too. Stephen West writes in. Hi, Stephen. Love the show, Mike. I'm pulling my hair out trying to talk to my family about collapse. Any suggestions? Yeah, give up. Stop. We've had on the show twice a great guest, Chris Martinson of ChrisMartinson.com. And if you go look at his website, he tells the story about how he broached the subject with his wife. And that remains to this day the best example of how to try to communicate this that I have ever seen. However, at this point, I look around at the people in the world, and if they cannot see that civilization is collapsing, I just kind of have no sympathy. And I just emailed this to someone else in a private email before the show, who was really, really, really hurt about his wife's refusal to see this. You know, she's still thinking about investing for their next house, et cetera, et cetera. And what came out of me was a pretty clear realization that's also been underscored this week, which is that we're at a point now where, if not now, soon, where we will have to look at the people who couldn't see it, who refused to see it, who never got out of the denial phase of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's five stages of grief. And we are going to have to watch them die, recognizing that we are absolutely powerless to save them. And trying to save them may well jeopardize our own lives. Nature will sort that out. Instincts and fate will sort that out. But there is no answer anywhere that is going to enable anybody to make somebody see that which they are not prepared or willing to see. If they can't see it now, they'll see it soon enough. But I look at everybody now who's trying to persuade family members who don't want to hear it. And I'm about at the point where I'm saying, consider energy return for energy invested. And how much energy you're expending to get no food, to get no payoff. It's tough. It sounds coarse. It sounds cynical. But it's not. It's imminently practical at this point. You can prepare for yourself, by yourself, do what you can, but put your energy there now. Because at least if you have prepared a little bit, you know, you can be a closet, you know, preparer. You will have something to offer those you love when they need it. And so you work on putting that together because, trust me, my brother, they're all going to need it real soon. And they're going to come looking to those of us, and we're going to have to make very tough choices about who we help and how. That's life. Donnie Harris. Hi, Donnie. Says, hey, Mike, you guys have a story on the World News Desk today from Zero Hedge about no over-the-counter gold and silver sales after July 15. Can you clarify what that's about? No, I can't, because I don't think I've read that one yet. But here's what I do know. And he says, "My God, man, how do you hold up?" My answer is, I got a lot of really, really, really great friends. I got a lot of people who love me and who stand around me. I'll tell you that Comex is having a huge problem right now. Comex may have, I don't know, 300,000-400,000 silver contracts, for like 100 ounces of silver. And yet what's been coming out of Comex lately is that the amount of physical silver they actually have on hand is eroding. The last time I checked, which was earlier in the week, they were down to having only enough physical silver to satisfy 2,500 contracts, or 25,000, excuse me, contracts. Now, we have known this, and I've been writing about it for years, but here I tip my hat to Gold Antitrust Action Committee and all the activists on silver. We know that there are many, many tens and hundreds of times more paper gold and silver out there than there is physical metal out of the ground. And that's why since I started recommending to my readers to start buying gold in about 2000, I have said you will never, ever, never, ever buy anything that where it isn't metal that you have in your hand. And boy, has that proven to be important. But see, the whole derivatives bubble, which I just had Nicole Foss as a guest up at the house here. She made a great presentation here in Sebastopol. Estimates the global derivatives bubble at, you know, $1.4-1.5 quadrillion. Well, that's all imploding right now. That's what this is all about. This is all about derivatives. And when I issued my first ever economic alert from the wilderness on September the 9th, 2001, 2 days before 9/11, I was warning about what was going to be then an imminent market crash caused by derivatives. And, of course, they did have a market crash, but then they did all this extra legal manipulation immediately after the attacks to camouflage that and to try to fix it. But that's what's happening now. There's going to be a big shaking out in both gold and silver pretty soon. I think silver, the silver shakeout will happen first, and the silver markets will go pretty much crazy. There's been just a lot of play. I forget who it is who has been. I want to tip my hat to the guy who's been tracking silver. I forget his name. But there's a lot of people out there tracking what's going on, and I would expect in the next week or two to see some major developments in the precious metals market. Okay, let me check here and see if we've got any. No calls. Okay, we have now an email from comment on dog packs. Well, that seems to be a barking subject tonight. Just want to confirm your comment on dog packs. I lived in Armenia, beginning and part of my life during which the Soviet Union collapsed and left Armenia. This is from David Gavorkian. In a terrible economic depression, no food, no power, no water, corruption, crime, the whole nine yards. Dogs most definitely form packs. There were some stories about kids being eaten. Not sure how true this was, but I do know my father, who walked to work, got chased by more than one pack of dogs. Yes, I saw that as a policeman in South Central Los Angeles in the 70s. P.S. I'm 24 years old, and a majority of the people I know are completely clueless to anything going on in the world. Yes, we know that, but we're not here. Most don't even know how to use power tools. Yeah, I know. And I imagine a majority of the people in the U.S. will never know how to survive an economic collapse. Yeah, I'm real clear on that, too, and I agree with you completely. I think all the people who are afraid of flooding out of the city searching for food will just freak out in the city, and they won't get out. Having lived through one, I can tell you that the only way we survived was family and friends. Amen. Thank you, David. There were times when the only food we had was bread and water, and it's comforting to know you have close friends and family to help each other out. Thank you for that, David. I really, really appreciate that. I think we all do, too. I think we're all starting to get it. Okay. God, they're still coming in. Guys, send them in. That's great. From Scott Tolstad to the Lifeboat Hour. I'm a lifeboat member. Glassman error. Oops, sorry. I just used your name. I apologize for that. I won't mention the city you work in. He's a reserve police officer. This isn't the result of a study, but only my experience. I work one or two shifts a week. Home invasions, 211th. That's the California Penal Code statute for robbery, not burglary. Robbery, which is where you stick a gun or use force or fear to take the property. And hot prowl 459s. Hot prowls are burglaries that take place while the residents are inside sleeping used to be very rare. Now I'm seeing what a shift. None of this hits the news. Last Saturday, someone stole a metal drainage grate at the bottom of one of the ramps off of I-15. The week before, it was a manhole cover. Let the listeners know they need to be careful when they drive. Finally, people have this delusion that when they call 911, the cops will show up. Man, that sure isn't the case anymore. Our city is getting really tight on police response. We're getting calls with no cover available, and that never used to happen. Well, Scott, thank you very much for that. And you're not the only law enforcement guy who has reached out to me over the last few months, and I can tell you that's absolutely true. There are counties and places in this country where there is no patrol due to budget cutbacks. They're just on their own. There's some regions up here in Northern California where the cops just don't even come in unless it's a murder. And that is going to become the rule everywhere. And these when I was a cop back in the 70s, response time was the big thing. You know, a hotshot call comes out and it was like how much time or how little time it took from the time the 911 call was answered until the unit arrived on the scene. And that was a big thing for us. And it is, if you are a dedicated cop, and if you care about providing services, these kinds of experiences are heartbreaking. When you know that there are people who really need help and you just can't get there. But that's kind of, and Scott, I really want to thank you again for this. That was a good message. That's kind of where we were at CollapseMet this week. Too many calls, not enough units. So that's something we all have to prepare for, but the underlying message is clear. You are going to have to learn how to take care of yourself through neighborhood watches, through organizing lifeboats, through making friends with your neighbors, and through making plans for what most people consider to be the unthinkable. But I can tell you that those days are coming pretty soon when we're going to have to see and deal with a lot of stuff. There's not going to be anybody around to help us. Again, I recommend the HBO series Deadwood for training on how to survive under those conditions. Deadwood, Al Swearengen, I love that. Oh, he was amazing. From Gauss Resigno to the Lifeboat Hour. Thanks so much for what you do. I follow your website and program faithfully. I was so glad to hear your response to the we question. During the Vietnam War protest days, I was in a meeting where we spent over an hour of heated discussion regarding whether we should say we when talking about what the USA was doing in Vietnam. What a waste. Let's not split hairs, and let's talk about what's really important. I agree. In a lot of the spiritual work, and I'm out of email questions and have no calls, so if you want to get a question in, you got some time. LifeboatHour@CollapseNet.com or 1-888-874-4888. Debating stuff in the spiritual work that I'm doing right now. I'm in an area of spiritual work and endeavor where intent, where clearly stated intent, is everything. Not with the semantics, but having the heart message be clearly put out. And during the Vietnam War and all of the political correct nonsense that we saw in the decades that followed, which produced absolutely no change in the world. I mean, face it, folks. The progressive lefty movement is the most ineffective thing that has ever tried to present itself as trying to help people. It hasn't accomplished much of anything. Raised a lot of money through a lot of parties. They had some great protests that nobody in government paid any attention to. But it was totally ineffective. So we need to find like a new operating system for this. I'm told that there's going to be a very huge progressive demonstration, I think, in Washington, D.C. or on the East Coast in August or September. Let's see if they invite me or Gary Null. Or if it's the same old talking heads we've had out of the progressive left for the last two or three decades, I'm sorry, but what an exercise in futility. I was amazed when Gary announced last week that here at PRN we have surpassed Pacifica Radio Network in terms of listenership. Gary and I both had long struggles with Pacifica, and both of us pretty well got clobbered a couple of times. But the truth will out. And you know, I'm kind of surprised to see the kind of numbers that this show is getting. But I guess what that tells me more than anything else is that truth will out. Is that in the end there is a separation, there is a culling, and the ice cream gets separated from the bullshit. Because you know, I've been following Gary for a number of years now, and neither he nor I have changed our tune one bit. We've been doing the same song and dance for a decade or more. But now people are listening, and that is a really affirming thing for all of us. So I'm going to get up tomorrow morning and go about my work. What I do in the morning is I get up and have my coffee, and I plow through all of the stories that go on to the World News Desk at CollapseNet every day. And it's so draining to read maybe 100, 120 news stories documenting all of the calamity and the hardship, the suffering, the loss, the chaos that's taking place around the world. And then I spend the rest of the day trying to recover. You know, I make my comments on them, and I'll be up tomorrow doing that. I do expect it to be a very busy week with a lot of stories. My eyes are very closely, our eyes at CollapseNet are going to be very close on Fort Calhoun and the situation there. I want to repeat, there's shocking new videos going up on our site. We found them on YouTube. They're being funneled to us, showing that a nuclear plant in Nebraska, outside of Omaha, is flooded, and that their generators may be overwhelmed. The river water was still rising. Recent video shows that everything else is proceeding in a direction that could give us another Fukushima, except for in the United States. Okay, we got Greg from Seattle on the phone. Hi, Greg. We got about 5 minutes left, two calls. How you doing, man? Greg, you there?
For a couple months or so, I just wanted to say that I can sense an urgency in your voice. I'm sure I'm not the only caller that can sense that. And you mentioned something about taking some time off, and I was going to thank you. You've helped countless thousands of us, and I think it's, at least from my perspective, important for the future that you do everything you can, whether it delegate authority to other people in CollapseNet, take as much time off as you need, because we're going to need somebody like you in the future when things completely collapse, hide mankind into this new world.
Thank you, Greg. I really appreciate that. And my intent, my stated intent for this retreat, which I just did this afternoon with the people who I will be doing it with, was to clear a path so that I can hear a clear message from Spirit about what she wants for me, about what I'm supposed to do, and I guess one of the biggest lessons that I've learned in my spiritual path over the years, and you know, it is what it is that the primary objective is always to get out of my own way, to not hear any voices that are rooted in ego, or personal needs, wishes, wants, etc., and to ask that any defects that I have are cleared away so that I can see what the heck it is I'm supposed to do and be of service. And that's the real beauty of so many of the people that are around now, and we find a lot of them at CollapseNet, some really enlightened souls. Thank you, Greg. We got one more call. We got about 3 minutes left. This is working out beautifully tonight. Michael from New York, are you there?
How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good, good. I was just wondering, for those of us who do not have the funds to invest in silver and gold, what would you suggest for people like us?
Well, I wouldn't even be recommending that you invest in silver or gold now. I think it's too late for that. There was another question about debt before. I was telling people to get out of debt in 2003, 2004, 2005. Don't worry about that now. I'm not saying it's time to walk away from mortgages yet. There's still teeth in the beast. But right now, everybody should just be concentrating on getting the physical survival gear they need for immediate stuff. Food, water, water purification, whether guns, tools, whatever it is you need, that's what you invest in now. Physical assets that you may not be able to get down the road.
What about, I've heard some stories about people going to debtor prisons if they're not paying like their school loans and stuff like that?
I wouldn't worry about that too much, although it's out there as a possibility. I have no idea where it's going yet. It may get there. And that's why I have not said, okay, everybody match your cards and walk away from everything, because no, you know, I'm not convinced that it's time for that. But on the list of things to worry about, the possibility of going to debtor's prison is not in my top five of the things you need to worry about.
So I have one more really quick question. I don't know if you know, if you're familiar with HARP, but do you think it is a possibility that the Fukushima incident could have been caused by HARP? Because I've heard Dr. Rima Libo speaking about it.
What difference does it make?
Well, if there's somebody that's causing this and making it happen, it's a lot different than if it was just a natural catastrophe. I
absolutely do not think that anybody had a conscious intent to set out to create Fukushima. No, I think we're a very stupid, overcomplex civilization of dinosaurs who are only capable of doing destructive things because that's what the paradigm calls for. But even still, if some lunatic, you know, trying to play God, playing with HARP, triggered something that caused the earthquake, what difference does it make now to the people in Japan or to us?
Yeah, I guess it doesn't make a difference.
You're right. You're right, man. But that's okay. You probably helped a lot of people get a clearer idea of what was going on. All right, everybody. We're out of time for tonight. I love you. I thank you all. Tomorrow I'm recording Max Kaiser. Next week it'll be me and Max. No phone calls because it's pre-recorded. But God, you're going to love that show. And we'll see you back here on the Lifeboat Hour. Take it easy.